Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to another Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. The podcast about rugby doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. This is an extra special Liney edition, but before we get into it, please follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, look us up on Acast, and subscribe on iTunes or whichever podcast app that you use. As always, I am joined by Phil in studio.
Hello, Jonathan.
And down the line in the shipping container, it's Timothy. Hello, Tim.
Yes, in the TMO shipping container. Hello, Philip. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Tim.
Wow. Tell you what, boys, shipping container or not, what a day. Actually, what a week. It's been building nicely.
It's getting more and more exciting to the point that the teams are now out. We now know who is going to face off, and we can almost hit peak levels of excitement.
Well, peak Teo levels of excitement.
I am so excited. I just want to know what the Lions coaching team have done with Warren Gatland.
I don't know.
I mean, we've had hot weather in the UK. Is it hot in New Zealand? Has Warren had heat stroke? Or is this an unprecedented level of unexpected behaviour from one of the most predictable men in rugby?
Warren moves in mysterious ways. I don't know. I mean, he's not that predictable, to be fair. He's just made the right calls.
Once every 4 years, he does something very unpredictable.
Yeah, I guess the most unpredictable thing he did was win a Grand Slam in his first season coaching Wales. That was pretty unpredictable.
I don't understand you jumping to his defence like this.
I'm not knocking
his coaching credentials. I'm saying that you can normally set your clock by Warren Gatland decisions. And 4 years ago, he dropped Bod, and it was the right call.
Yep. But that was unpredictable. I get that.
And he's just thrown us a curveball 4 years later that no one was expecting.
Called up Tommy Francis. That wasn't predictable.
Well, I don't know. We predicted the mass influx of Welsh players after their game months ago. But no, this is great. I'm so excited having seen the team.
All right. Well, temper your excitement, Tim, because I've got something which is going to pique your interest. So, Phil knows the answer to this question, but Tim doesn't, because I've kept it under my hat until I get to speak to Tim directly. So, when do you think Corey Hill first joined up with the Lions?
So, they had their game on Saturday. Then they finished that. And then they didn't have a game till Tuesday. He was a bench on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I would have guessed he would have got there Monday morning.
Yeah, Monday morning. And he knows the calls very well, wouldn't you say?
Sorry?
So he knows all the calls very well, wouldn't you say?
Well, he didn't get on the pitch, did he?
Well, who knows? But, well, we know he didn't get on the pitch. He has been with the Lions, Tim, since May.
Hey?
He has been training with the Lions since May.
Right. I don't want to talk about this because this is detracting from the excitement and what this whole podcast is about.
Well, it is...
you're gonna make me really angry, and I don't want to. And I heard you on another podcast. Now I have got a little bone to pick with you.
Oh,
John.
No! What have I done?
No, listen. When someone has a different opinion to you, does not mean they are. And this goes for, I would say, the majority of the rugby community. You cast the aspersion on the majority of the rugby community, and I would say the majority of ex-Lions and players in general. You called them virtue signalers. You called them crying crocodile tears.
Yep. All those things are correct.
You called them being overly dramatic.
Yep.
Because they have a different opinion to you.
Anyone with a different opinion to me should be thrown in a wood chipper. Hear me now, believe me later.
Yeah. Well, people heard you back then when you said Ben Teo would never make it to the England team.
Well, it did look unlikely when he played for Leinster. So,
and people heard you a couple of weeks ago when you said, hear me now, believe me later, Jarrod Payne will be the fullback for the Lions. But let's talk about who is fullback for the Lions, because it's Liam Williams.
Well, when the facts change, so do my mind. And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Liam Williams, I mean, he played 60 minutes plus. He played a whole game, actually.
Yeah, he played the full game on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I guess this would be a weird one for Gatland, wouldn't it? So you put your players out, they play really well, and they come back and say, boss, can I play the test? And he goes, no, you play too well, too hard for too long. you can't play on Saturday. So I guess his hand was forced in a lot of ways.
Well, I am astonished. I'm absolutely astonished. Like you, Tim, I thought this was going to be the most predictable of Gatland decisions. And I was certain that Halfpenny would start at fullback. For one thing, he played really well as well against the Maori All Blacks.
Mm.
He's slightly different to Liam Williams in that he's not as attacking as Liam Williams, but he was excellent. He was great under the high ball. Obviously, his kicking's good. His defensive positioning is very good.
Do you know what I think Liam Williams brings, which George North doesn't?
Go on.
Rickets?
Yeah, and something more than that, bravery. Now, if you want to watch someone, if you want to find out how brave a player is, watch him go up for a high ball. Watch him go make those tackles. I mean, if you watch Liam Williams, there is not a man too big for him to tackle, and there's not a ball too intimidating to catch. I just think that's the kind of guy you need.
I'd say those characteristics are exactly the same as Halfpenny.
No, I'm not talking about George North here.
Right.
I think you're bang on with Halfpenny.
Yeah,
like too brave.
Halfpenny definitely has those. Definitely. I'm thinking back to the try saver on Luther Burrell.
Yeah,
3 years.
Oh, he just writes himself off continually. I mean, that's probably why he's going to shorten his career by 2 or 3 years. But with George North, I just get it. I mean, that makes sense.
Hmm.
But it is a departure because everyone just assumed the Halfpenny was absolutely nailed on that.
Yeah, 100%.
Because Liam Williams had played 80 minutes as much as anything. So does this signal, do you think, a change in intent in the way that we were anticipating they're going to play? It has to, doesn't it? There's no other.
You can't
avoid playing another way when you have Liam Williams at fullback rather than Lee Halfpenny.
Marginally, yeah. I think it will be a slight departure, but not enormously. I think if they'd have put, I don't know, someone like CJ Stander in, if they'd have put Jonathan Joseph in at 13, you might have, or even if they'd put Farrell and Sexton both in, you might have seen a real departure from the style of play. But I think it's a minor tweak to the way they play rather than a major overhaul.
So the way I see it is, I think Halfpenny, dropping him is a real risk because he's so good defensively and he's so good with his positioning.
Yep.
It allows everyone to defend slightly differently. Now, when you have Williams, I'd have put Williams on the wing instead of North and probably kept Halfpenny. You're bringing in Elliot Daly. Are you not just kind of... I'm not saying Elliot Daly is not positionally sound. He probably is. But he's certainly internationally not as experienced.
Definitely.
And I think Halfpenny and Williams would be a very good combination to field the All Blacks kicking game.
Well, do you know
probably
what?
A more efficient way.
Yeah.
I'd say that actually Warren Gatland has gone quite Eddie Jones with his selection. He's got a kind of slightly bigger man. I mean, Elliot Daly's got proper gas, don't get me wrong.
He does.
Huge amounts.
But he's a big unit and he's got a good boot in the back three. And then you've got your gas man on the right wing who's more jinker and more of a stepper and a sort of a counter-attacking threat. And then Liam Williams. So, it's a different blueprint and I'm absolutely loving it. Absolutely loving this. I think it demonstrates that they're going to try and do what they've done in the other games and have a strong forward platform, try and bully him a bit up front, but not going to be afraid to take the points, which they're going to need to do. And you look at the Ireland team that won in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and they had, you know, Simon Zebo, guys like that were in the back three.
Let's not get carried away with the back three, because it's only a small amount of the game. I mean, the other thing you've got to look at is, I think Sexton's a better ball player than Farrell, so he's gone for the solid choice there. And also, he's gone for two very direct centres. So, yes, it is a good reason to be excited, because these players are very exciting. But on the other hand, it does look like we're in for a lot of Warren ball. He's got two very big guys running down channels at 12 and 13.
In the centre.
Yeah. Very direct.
I think we will still see Warren ball, but there is that sparkle. If we do get some turnover ball, there's opportunity.
Yeah. Do you know what's weird? It's sort of weird that I always thought that if you pick Tao, he would pick Sexton, because they've played together. Yeah, they played together. I just thought that might be of more value.
Yeah.
Well, Farrell and Tao have been in England camps.
Yeah, that's
they
fair.
Have.
Often enough.
They have.
I also thought that Farrell would almost certainly start at 12. It's a good selection. I really like it. And it's solid.
Yeah. Are you two both happy? You've obviously said yes. Tim, are you happy with this team?
I am. I mean, if I was selecting, I would have just gone for it a little bit more. I think you can have enough confidence in the pack that the backs are going to get some balls. So I probably would have gone Sexton, Farrell, Joseph as my midfield. Because we've got this exciting back three, but like you say, two big units and Tao not known for his distribution. So how much of the ball will they see? So we'll wait and see on that. I think it's going to be a relatively simplistic game plan despite the selections, but I'm just really pleased by it. I am really pleased. I looking at the forwards, I probably would have had Kratoji as my second row, but I'm not overly fussed about Alan Wynne-Jones. That's not a bad fella, is it, to be a trading prize winning Marrow for?
I mean, I think we can say, can't we, with the selection and dropping as captain, he's clearly picked on form. What he's seeing in training has obviously been reflected.
Yeah, the only one there I'd question is, I've not seen Alan Wynne-Jones have a good tournament.
No.
I'd say he's been the fourth / fifth. In fact, do you know what I'm going to call it? I think he's been the fifth. He's been the least best performing lot. He hasn't played badly, but Henderson's had a couple of strong games.
Henderson's
been
playing
very well.
And I think
Laws is very, very close to Kratoji for the third spot. So I think Courtney Laws should feel very hard done by, and Alan Wynne should feel very, very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
I think one of the more interesting things in this team selection is the bench. No.
So, the bench is interesting. The bench is slightly disappointing for me.
Why?
So, two...
Is it because Warburton's on it?
Well, there's two...
Warburton and Halfpenny.
Yeah, two guys who I wouldn't have as impact. I would start them or nothing.
Yeah, I'm completely with you now.
It's those two. And it's... So there's four guys that Gatland obviously really trusts, and he's made very tough calls with all four guys. George North, cut him out. Halfpenny, dropped to the bench. Warburton, dropped to the bench. And Alan Wynne-Jones is in the team.
Yeah, you have to ask, don't you, what does Halfpenny bring off the bench?
Yeah, particularly because it's not his kicking if you've got Farrell and Elliot Daly on there. Yeah.
And then
Sexton on the bench as well.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Sexton's a very nice bench player, as is Reese Webb. I mean, those two are brilliant.
Those two very happy with. Itoji happy with. Owens, McGrath, Sinclair, very happy with all
Dynamite.
Of them. Yeah, very happy with all those. It's just the Halfpenny. You could have gone for Stander and Noel, say.
Yeah, I would have gone with those two. We spoke about this, didn't we? Like, how do you want to close out the game? It feels like they want to close out, or half the bench wants to close it out by running hard and making an impact, and the other half wants to start. But
maybe that's good. Maybe the balance is just right.
Yeah, I guess if they're ahead, they're going to want to bring on Warburton. They're going to want to bring on Halfpenny.
Warburton to tackle, rook.
Yeah, and Halfpenny to stop all this nonsense sort of cross-field kicking game. And you just don't know.
The kick pass.
And I guess if the back three are a little bit internationally inexperienced, well, you can bring on Halfpenny to shore things up. So I'm kind of looking for excuses now, but I guess that'd be the counter-argument.
A few tweets we've got. Bob Depledge on Twitter at Rugby Podcast said, a little bit left field to an extent. What does Halfpenny offer from the bench that wouldn't be covered by Noel or Joseph with Sexton kicking? Kind of what we said already.
Yeah.
John, I like this one, says, This is like the election a month ago. Everyone thought one side... Well, actually, the election was only a couple of weeks ago. This is like the election. Everyone thought one side would crush the other. Now it might be far closer, but I still think they'll lose. Yeah, it does feel a little bit like the excitement I think everyone felt when we realised the election night was going to be a long and very interesting one. Lawrence Hooper says, clearly the real Gatland is tied up in a dark room somewhere alongside the real George Ford, who kicks at 60%. And Sai says, no Itoji and Alan Wynn starting. It's almost as if Warren needs to up his Welsh quota. Well, I reckon there might have been a bit of horse trading going on. People going, that seriously, we want... You can't start George North. Fine, well... I've got to have another Welsh somewhere. He's Alan Wynn. I'm having Alan Wynn in.
And Liam Williams. Bring Liam Williams in.
Yeah, bring Liam Williams in. But he's Philly Halfpenny. Okay, we'll put Halfpenny on the bench then. I want the same number of Welshmen. We should talk about the opponents.
Well, just one other question for you two. Any areas of concern? Any areas of weakness that you see with that team? That Lions team?
Yeah, they might not be good enough. Like, from 1 to 15, they might not be good enough as a team. That is my biggest... I've got no problem with the individuals. I think the individuals are easily good enough to compete. It's just, can they mould this together as a unit? That is my...
Centre.
Fair. Yeah.
Centre.
Centres don't concern me one bit. Maybe defensively, they might get found out.
Really?
I'm less concerned defensively than I am. If their kind of bullocking runs get shut down, if New Zealand's defence is on its game...
Yeah, but that's what these boys
Sonny Bill
do.
And Crotty aren't too shabby. But if New Zealand do shut down, then I don't know. Again, I'm just worried that we've got Watson, Williams, Daly, and they're not going to get the ball.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they can shut down those boys, they can shut down anyone. I think these two centres have got as good a chance of breaking the line. Getting it. In fact, I'm buoyant on the Lions' chances. I'm actually calling this as a Lions win by 4 points.
Wow, calling it early before the Leo Vegas bet of the week.
Well, we can't play the music, you see, so we'll...
Oh, can we not?
No, we can't.
So my area of concern, I'm very happy with the team. Little concern over those two on the bench, but the balance feels right on the bench. The area of concern is actually surprising because they're two of the best players. Tight head prop. Purely because you've got two guys who are early 20s.
Yeah.
Don't have many test caps at all between them. Don't have a huge amount of experience between them.
Yeah. And Furlong's scrimmaging has been good, but it hasn't been absolutely dominant.
Yeah.
And kind of that's what I wanted to see. You know, I wanted to see... I know Andrew Sheridan's a loose head, but I wanted to see Andrew Sheridan versus Australia when he went through both their tight heads back to back.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. But, you know... We'll take it.
But I'm happy with solid and not giving away pens.
Yeah.
That'll do me.
If tight head is my biggest concern, then that's a pretty small concern because those are two handy players.
So I'm going to put the argument forward for the Lions now, and I want you to counter it.
Okay.
All right. So I think the Lions are going to get the better of the All Blacks on the gain line. I think from basically throughout the entire pack, all the way out to the... To the team, they'll get over the game line. I don't think the All Blacks will get over the game line with the same kind of effectiveness. I also think the Lions' defence is going to be very good. I've not been this excited for a defence for a long time. Andy's good grasp on the situation, and it's been improving and improving and improving. And I think against the Chiefs, they just kept on going for 80 minutes. Their fitness was incredible. I mean, it really was top draw. And then there's... And this can be used as a pejorative, but don't take it in that way. I think there's the Irish confidence from beating the English and beating the All Blacks, and I think there's the English arrogance. They've not met the All Blacks yet, but I believe players like Farrell have no fear going into this whatsoever. They're going to be sky high confident, and if they keep it tight for the first 40. The All Blacks will start to doubt themselves, and that's when I think things will change.
Okay, a few points there.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically,
I've forgotten what the first one was. So,
first one, well,
gain line, gain first line, line, defense, line, confidence.
First one, Lions gain line. Lions have got a great chance on the gain line. Equally, New Zealand have a great chance on the gain line. They've got some incredible ball carriers. Reed's back, Kano. Both the second rows, all of the front rows, Sonny Bill in the centre. They're all incredible ball carriers, but also they've got a bit more skill. So they can get the half gap, get the offload in.
New Zealand forwards can pass better than Lions backs.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Possibly line centres. The other point is the staying at half time, and Lions will think, now New Zealand in their last six,
second halves are amazing.
Well, their last six home games, in the final 20 minutes, they've outscored their opponents 91-0.
Oh my word.
So even if you get in at half time, even if after 60 minutes you're within touching distance, I mean, Wales have had a few games recently against Blacks where
they've been touching, yeah, you're
in
right.
touching distance after 60 minutes, and they've ended up losing by 30 points. So I'm way more confident than I have been previously. That still doesn't mean I think the Lions can win.
And I would just I'd say turning over towards New Zealand a little bit more, as Phil said, that pack is really only one man short of World Cup winning pack, and that's Richie McCaw, who's hard to replace, and Sam Kane's pretty tidy.
Do you know what? I've not seen enough of Sam Kane.
Oh, mind you, they're missing Dane Coles as well. But no, so that pack is it really, really impressive, and Sam Kane could win the battle on the deck. Kano and Reed.
I'm not sure Sam Kane can. I'm not saying Sam Kane is bad by any stretch. I am saying that the drop off from McCaw to Kane is bloody enormous.
It's also enormous simply because McCaw gets the decisions.
Yeah.
And we have seen.
Ask Matt Kvesic how easy it is to win turnovers when you don't have the reputation.
We have seen the decisions go against the New Zealand teams in this tour so far.
And the last thing I'm going to mention is, if all the New Zealand teams play in a certain way, you know, like mirror the All Blacks to a certain degree because they're all aiming for the same thing, this pathway to the All Blacks, I've not been that impressed, quite frankly. I've not seen the wonderful skills. I've not seen anything which people rave about, unless they've been keeping
what?
I haven't. Unless they've been keeping.
Have you watched them? Because that could be the only way that you're.
So those Crusaders, the best team that they have to offer, didn't even get over the try. Didn't even get.
Oh,
get
come
over the try line.
Well, no, I just like I.
Well,
I'd
well,
prefer
well,
to,
well, where
I'd
is pre- it?
I'd prefer to. Well, that's like going. Well, I've seen England. I've heard England are good, but I
give
watched
me
Bristol.
Give me your.
I watched Bristol in the Premiership and they were rubbish, so
oh,
I'm just not impressed.
Oh, my word. Amazing. Give me your highlight. Give me your highlight of skills which you've seen, the things which just blown you away.
Just a reminder, you're listening to the JB Rugby Podcast. I'd rather talk about. I think the best comparison and the best reference point is the game they played last week. Because that was the New Zealand team playing last week.
That's a terrible reference point because they're playing a Samoa team that were just thrown together and all at six and seven. So you couldn't pick a worse reference.
Let's use a Highlanders or a Canterbury game with very few of the players that will be involved on Saturday instead.
Or the Blues. I think the Blues would be probably the best way to look at this because they had most of their All Blacks. The Crusaders had most of their All Blacks. Yes, the Blues won, the Crusaders lost. But between those two games, you would really struggle to say, oh, look at these amazing skills. And maybe it's because the Lions' defence puts them under so much pressure and it's hard to execute these things. I would say that has a lot to do with it.
I do think you have a point. Now, Tim, you also have a very good point that virtually every game Lions are playing against understrength New Zealand teams. And even when they were full strength, you're playing against a Crusaders team who are used to running in 13 tries against a game against the Melbourne Rebels and the Sunwolves. But we've not actually seen all of the silky skills that we were expecting to from the New Zealand teams.
No, I've seen fairly few of them, to be quite frank.
But that doesn't
and
mean...
Weather,
doesn't,
it doesn't
mean that,
a,
by the way, it doesn't mean that they don't exist. I'm
no,
just saying, so
been
far...
A factor there. Weather has been a factor there, and there's yep. rain forecast for Saturday.
Yeah,
bring it on.
That is true.
Bring
and that,
it on.
I think the weather gives... So there's little bits that are all starting to move pieces in Lions' favour, and I think the weather is another one. I fancy that the team, the Lions team, a bit more when it's wet and when it can... You can almost take out some of those offloads and some of those 50-50 skills.
Now, having said this, and it was a point made on Green and Gold, and they're absolutely correct, this game, even though I've called it a four-point win for Lions, will probably turn on a bit of magic by someone. And magic, I
Sorelli Bombo?
Yeah, exactly. three cheers. And I guess if it is a tight game and we are relying on a bit of magic to conjure up the winner, maybe that's when the All Blacks do pull ahead.
Yeah, when Bowden Barrett or Aaron Smith or Sonny Bill, Ryan Crotty, Dag or Ben Smith, or we've not yet mentioned him, but he is back, Kieran Reid.
Yeah, in the outside centre channel.
Yeah.
Doing
absolutely.
What?
And I would, but to contrast what Phil was saying about the Lions bench, that New Zealand bench, pretty explosive.
It is.
In the back line and the back row and back line. So whereas we have Warburton, really great player, but not massively impactful. Ardie Surveyor.
Perfect impact
then,
player.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, and then you've got either Cruden or Sopawanga, so a really kind of...
Who is the All Black replacement 10?
...inventive option off the bench. And Linnett Brown as well is absolute class.
Linnett Brown is class. It must have been a very tight call between him and Crotty for that outside centre slot. The 10, they've actually named, presumably because of fitness concerns.
Oh, is it like one or the other and they're making a late call?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cruden and Sopawanga.
Oh, interesting. Both, I mean... I'm saying that New Zealand is still probably the best team from the best rugby country in the best period that has ever existed for that team or that country. But I've just got a feeling about it.
They have been beaten, as we say. We have seen them fallible in Chicago. We haven't seen them fallible in New Zealand for a very, very long time.
Do you know when the last time they lost was?
Oh, in New Zealand.
Was it England before? No, because they obviously got Super Rugby. It must have been, because Australia haven't won there for years. So I'm going to say South Africa.
I'm going to say England.
6 years ago. South or England Africa. Before, it's not England before the World Cup.
England 2002.
No, it's not that long.
It's not that long ago. They have lost a handful of times since then. The last time was just over 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
So last time, just over 8 years ago in Dunedin against France.
Really?
France, yeah. 2000.
Of course it was France.
2009. So yeah, they've not... It breaks... I'm looking at a record of New Zealand. It breaks them down into 10-year periods. And so obviously from 2010 onwards, not lost a single home game. They've only lost 5 games since 2010. Total.
Yeah. Oh
my goodness. Oh no, scratch that. 6 games.
Wow.
A whole 20% higher, Phil.
Yeah.
Well,
wrong.
To be fair, hang on, mate. Out
of about 70 games.
Hang on, mate. I think you're being a bit unfair there, because I think the Lions have only lost 6 in the same sort of time frame.
It depends if you count test matches.
Yeah.
Or... Yeah, because they've lost. They probably lost that many.
Well, they've lost two on tour, and then they won. They lost one to Australia, maybe one other.
One against the Brumbies.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah,
that's pretty. Lions are actually ahead on this.
They've won
this metric.
They've lost fewer games, but
leave it there. Leave it there.
Okay.
Leave it there. Don't baffle me with your facts.
I'm calling it, and it's really so predictable. It's not a bold call at all, but. Following on from what you said about a bit of magic, I think the game will be won by a bit of magic from Ben Barrett, or Owen Farrell will fully announce himself as a world-class player. It's those two tens.
Yeah.
Phil? Right, okay, shall we do our Leo Vegas pick of the week?
Okay.
Tim, where can we make some bets, Tim, if we so desire to do so?
Oh, LeoVegas.com. They love their rugby. They, as you might have seen them, their name on the back of Leicester Tigers shorts. They partner Leicester Tigers and they wanted a podcast. Obviously, they came to us. They love their rugby. We do as well. Get to LeoVegas.com. They've got loads of in-game betting, cash-out options, all sorts of stuff, that, and the widest variety and the best as well, in our opinion. So get on there. LeoVegas.com. Obviously, our pick of the week, our game that we're focusing on is this one. New Zealand v British and Irish Lions. First test, Auckland, 8:35 a.m. kickoff. Oh, what hacker do you reckon New Zealand will do?
Oh.
Will they do the Kapa Opanga or the Kamate?
I like the Kamate, personally. Okay, it's in their home ground. It's in New Zealand. I've got full respect for the hacker in this situation over there.
Yeah.
It's all the other ones I can't stand.
This is
what the hacker's designed for. We're allowed to be excited for this one.
Completely agree.
Kamate? Yeah, go with that one.
I'm hoping they do the Kapa Opanga.
That one.
We've been knocking the number of hack at this opportunity, but Warren Gatland said at the start before the tour, he thought that by the time the test matches come, the team will be completely numb to the hacker, and that's probably true.
Do you know what? That's a bloody good point.
Yeah. I think the hacker can be incredibly powerful when it's used at the right time. Like, everything in moderation.
Yeah. It's like if you gave the Lions cocaine every night on tour, and then on their big night out they had a bit more cocaine.
Yeah.
What would be the point?
Yeah.
You've ruined it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so less hackers, and also, you know, less spears, less swords, less everything. Just go back to doing a hacker once, and only do it at home too.
Yeah.
Make it special.
So, predictions.
I believe more than I did. I think we have to win the first test to win the series. I can't.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to get harder and harder, because the All Blacks will get more and more into their groove. It's the start of their season, remember. I think the All Blacks by 6.
I definitely agree with you, Tim, in that I am more confident than I've been, but I still think that New Zealand are going to win. I am going to go for New Zealand by 8.
I've always said Lions by 4. It'll be Lions by 1 going into the last 70. Ardie Surveyor is going to give away a penalty, and he's going to give it away on the 78th minute.
So Lions by 4.
Lions by 4. That's how it's going to go.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be a long ranger.
Are you a little bit annoyed you're on a stag do, JB?
No, because I'm with a good bunch of boys, all of whom are pretty much have all played for RGC.
There we go.
And it's going to be one hell of a weekend. And I'm looking forward to having a few beers and then calling in to chat to you boys. So in a way, I've got the best of both worlds.
Very good.
I can't bring it on. Cannot wait. I'm so excited.
I genuinely am. I don't often get excited, but I'm really, really excited for this.
Because you've watched too much rugby. You've nulled your pleasure senses.
Exactly what I've done.
Like too many hackers.
Too many hackers.
I've thought of a
too many hackers are in the dance.
I need to send this in an envelope, sealed envelope, to my house so I can patent this and no one can nick it. But there should be like a Lions version of an advent calendar.
Oh.
A ladvent calendar.
Oh. What would be behind like the windows?
Haskell in various states of undress.
A ladvent calendar, right? So you're on something here. I mean, yes, of course, for the Lions, but would it be things like you open up one window and it's Manu Tuilagi diving off a ferry? The other one is, what's his name? Zach Guilford naked on an island bleeding.
Yeah, crashing. covered in his own blood, completely naked.
This has got legs.
That's ours.
And what would be the main one?
Who's the ultimate rugby lad?
I know what it'd be. It'd be Ellis Genge, but it'd just be a question mark. You'll never know.
Love it. Nailed it. That's genuinely, I reckon that I could sell.
Let's build them for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, the Egg Chasers Ladvent calendar is coming.
Yeah.
In fact, I feel like we should delete this off the podcast because that's so good, someone will steal it.
Yeah, they will, won't they? Oh, well.
JB, get your patent lawyer.
Yes, I will.
On the end of the phone now.
Lawyer up. Right, why don't you tell everyone where they can find us, Tim, and we'll go.
Well, I'll tell you where you can find some wonderful blazers shirts, chinos, polo shirts, wonderful discerning rugby gentleman attire, and that's ragingbull.co.uk, Ooh. Where you can get 15% off any purchase by using the code EGG15. Fill your boots. We love their stuff. We think you will as well. You can find us on the Apple Podcast Store. Hit subscribe. You can find us on Acast. Hit subscribe. You can find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. On Instagram, Egg Chasers Podcast. You can find us on, where else is there? Facebook. And
Meets for Beer in Chorlton. We're often in Chorlton.
Yeah.
Find us all in all sorts of places.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Flattery's Pub in Barcelona on Saturday morning. You can find us everywhere.
Beautiful stuff.
Excellent. Right. Well, see you on Sunday, boys. Oh, hang on. Speak to you on Saturday. See you on Sunday.
Perfect.
Get in. Nice one. Nice one, lads. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.